Sacrifice could be proper only for those who have nothing to sacrifice, no values, no standards, no judgment, those whose desires are irrational whims, blindly conceived and lightly surrendered. For a man of moral stature, whose desires are born of rational values, sacrifice is the surrender of the right to the wrong, of the good to the evil. The creed of sacrifice is a morality for the immoral, a morality that declares its own bankruptcy by confessing that it can't impart to men any personal stake in virtues or values, and that their souls are sewers of depravity, which they must be taught to sacrifice. By its own confession, it is impotent to teach men to be good, and can only subject them to constant punishment. Are you thinking in some foggy stupor that it's only material values that your morality requires you to sacrifice? And what do you think are material values? Matter has no value except as a means for the satisfaction of human desires. Matter is only a tool of human values. To what service are you asked to give the material tools your virtue has produced? To the service of that which you regard as evil. To a principle you do not share, to a person you do not respect, to the achievement of a purpose opposed to your own. Else your gift is not a sacrifice. Your morality tells you to renounce the material world and to divorce your values from matter. A man whose values are given no expression in material form, whose existence is unrelated to his ideals, whose actions contradict his convictions, is a cheap little hypocrite. Yet that is the man who obeys your morality and divorces his values from matter. The man who loves one woman but sleeps with another. The man who admires the talent of a worker but hires another. The man who considers one cause to be just but donates his money to the support of another. The man who holds high standards of craftsmanship but devotes his effort to the production of trash. These are the men who have renounced matter. The men who believe that the values of their spirit cannot be brought into material reality. Do you say it is the spirit that such men have renounced? Yes, of course. You cannot have one without the other. You are an indivisible entity of matter and consciousness. Renounce your consciousness and you become a brute. Renounce your body and you become a fake. Renounce the material world and you surrender it to evil. And that is precisely the goal of your morality, the duty that your code demands of you. Give to that which you do not enjoy, serve that which you do not admire, submit to that which you consider evil, surrender the world to the values of others, deny, reject, renounce yourself. Yourself is your mind. Renounce it, and you become a chunk of meat ready for any cannibal to swallow. It is your mind that they want you to surrender. All those who preach the creed of sacrifice, whatever their tags or their motives, whether they demand it for the sake of your soul or of your body, whether they promise you another life in heaven or a full stomach on this earth. Those who start by saying, it is selfish to pursue your own wishes, you must sacrifice them to the wishes of others, end up by saying, it is selfish to uphold your convictions, you must sacrifice them to the convictions of others. This much is true. The most selfish of all things is the independent mind that recognizes no authority higher than its own and no value higher than its judgment of truth. You are asked to sacrifice your intellectual integrity, your logic, your reason, your standard of truth, in favor of becoming a prostitute whose standard is the greatest good for the greatest number. If you search your code for guidance, for an answer to the question, what is the good, the only answer you will find is the good of others. The good is whatever others wish, whatever you feel they wish, or whatever you feel they ought to feel. The good of others is a magic formula that transforms anything into gold, a formula to be recited as a guarantee of moral glory and as a fumigator for any action, even the slaughter of a continent. Your standard of virtue is not an object, not an act, not a principle, but an intention. You need no proof, no reasons, no success. You need not achieve, in fact, the good of others. All you need to know is that your motive was the good of others, not your own. Your only definition of the good is a negation. The good is the non-good for me. Your code. which boasts that it upholds eternal, absolute, objective moral values and scorns the conditional, the relative, and the subjective, your code hands out, as its version of the absolute, the following rule of moral conduct. If you wish it, it's evil. If others wish it, it's good. If the motive of your action is your welfare, don't do it. If the motive is the welfare of others, then anything goes. As this double-jointed, double-standard morality splits you in half, so it splits mankind into two enemy camps. One is you. The other is all the rest of humanity. You are the only outcast who has no right to wish or live. You are the only servant. The rest are the masters. You are the only giver. The rest are the takers. You are the eternal debtor. The rest are the creditors, never to be paid off. You must not question their right to your sacrifice, or the nature of their wishes and their needs. Their right is conferred upon them by a negative, by the fact that they are non-you. For those of you who might ask questions, your code provides a consolation prize and booby trap. It is for your own happiness, it says, that you must serve the happiness of others. The only way to achieve your joy is to give it up to others. The only way to achieve your prosperity is to surrender your wealth to others. The only way to protect your life is to protect all men except yourself. And if you find no joy in this procedure, it is your own fault and the proof of your evil. If you were good, you would find your happiness in providing a banquet for others, and your dignity in existing on such crumbs as they might care to toss you. You, who have no standard of self-esteem except the guilt, and dare not ask the questions, but you know the unadmitted answer, refusing to acknowledge what you see, what hidden premise moves your world. You know it, not in honest statement, but as a dark uneasiness within you, while you flounder between guilty cheating and grudgingly practicing a principle too vicious to name. I, who do not accept the unearned, neither in values nor in guilt, am here to ask the question you evaded. Why is it moral to serve the happiness of others but not your own? If enjoyment is of value, why is it moral when experienced by others but immoral when experienced by you? If the sensation of eating a cake is of value, why is it an immoral indulgence in your stomach but a moral goal for you to achieve in the stomach of others? Why is it immoral for you to desire but moral for others to do so? Why is it immoral to produce a value and keep it, but moral to give it away? And if it is not moral for you to keep a value, why is it moral for others to accept it? If you are selfless and virtuous when you give it, are they not selfish and vicious when they take it? Does virtue consist of serving vice? Is the moral purpose of those who are good self-immolation for the sake of those who are evil? The answer you evade, the monstrous answer, is no. The takers are not evil, provided they did not earn the value you gave them. It is not immoral for them to accept it, provided they are unable to produce it, unable to deserve it, unable to give you any value in return. It is not immoral for them to enjoy it, provided they do not obtain it by right. Such is the secret core of your creed, the other half of your double standard. It is immoral to live by your own effort, but moral to live by the effort of others. It is immoral to consume your own product, but moral to consume the products of others. It is immoral to earn, but moral to mooch. It is the parasites who are the moral justification for the existence of the producers. But the existence of the parasites is an end in itself. It is evil to profit by achievement, but good to profit by sacrifice. It is evil to create your own happiness, but good to enjoy it at the price of the blood of others. Your code divides mankind into two castes and commands them to live by opposite rules: those who may desire anything and those who may desire nothing, the chosen and the damned, the riders and the carriers, the eaters and the eaten. What standard determines your caste? What passkey admits you to the moral elite? The passkey is lack of value. Whatever the value involved, it is your lack of it that gives you a claim upon those who don't lack it. It is your need that gives you a claim to rewards. If you were able to satisfy your need, your ability annuls your right to satisfy it. But a need you are unable to satisfy gives you first right to the lives of mankind. If you succeed, any man who fails is your master. If you fail, any man who succeeds is your serf. Whether your failure is just or not, whether your wishes are rational or not, whether your misfortune is undeserved or the result of your vices, it is misfortune that gives you a right to rewards. It is pain, regardless of its nature or cause. Pain is a primary absolute that gives you a mortgage on all of existence.